Right, I think council were present when we made the previous statements about your time limits and how the lighting system works. Were you not? All right, we're prepared for argument in Delaney versus Fox.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Davey Yorty. I'm here with my colleague Lance Shirtleaf, and we represent defendant appellee Laura Fates in today's matter. The matter before us today is indeed difficult. In 1996, Renee Delaney was sexually assaulted in her own home, and this crime went unsolved for 10 years. Lead investigator on her case was Longmont Police Detective Laura Fates. When it was discovered in 2006, from a DNA result from an inmate, somebody incarcerated for another crime, that he actually had been the perpetrator of Ms. Delaney's assault and had been accused by her early on, a sincere apology was given to Ms. Delaney from an officer of the Longmont Police Department. This apology was sincere, and it has not been retracted. Not a person in this room does not feel for Ms. Delaney. However, as difficult as this case is on the facts, the legal question presented is in fact rather simple. Very few plaintiffs, if any plaintiffs, ever so clearly demonstrate an awareness of their injury and a belief that it was wrongfully caused by a government actor so long before filing a notice of claim, initiating an internal investigation by a government entity, and remediation of her harms.
Ms. Shorty, I have a question about the injury, and I'm a little confused about what exactly the injury was and when exactly it occurred, because we need to know when it occurred in order to know when the time limits run.
According to Ms. Delaney, the injury she is claiming is just the uncertainty of not knowing, that thinking somebody was still out there, and knowing that nobody had been arrested in her case, fear that somebody was going to come and get her. She also claims psychological damages and two failed marriages. Those are the injuries she complains of, but the kernel of the injury is no arrest. She knew there was no arrest for 10 years. In 2002, she talked to a Longmont reporter in a newspaper article stating that she was distressed that there was no arrest, that this was causing her harm, and that she believed a lack of proper police investigation was the cause and the reason for no arrest.
Ms. Yorty, let me ask you, you just said the kernel of the injury is no arrest. Couldn't one, playing devil's advocate with you, couldn't one also say the kernel of the injury here is that there was distress from the fact that the Detective Fates did not do the DNA testing from the first minute, Ms. Delaney said, I think it's this other guy. And she had always thought that it was tested and whatever else. I guess what I'm driving to here is the court made, you framed your issues as factual errors and factual determinations by the district court. I'll just be candid with you. I'm concerned because we have to give deference to the district court's factual findings. The district court obviously disagreed with you on that the kernel of the injury here was just no arrest. The district court's view is the kernel of the injury is you didn't investigate this guy, 10 years ago when you should have.
We would counter that actually our argument is one part of our appeal was that we found that one specific fact found by the trial court was clear error, and that was that the trial court found that Ms. Delaney had no reason to know there was no DNA test of the actual perpetrator. We think that was error because according to the other facts found, including that nobody ever told Ms. Delaney that he was not tested, and that she was well aware that police reports she had in her possession were redacted, and that she was also dissatisfied vocally and on the record with the DNA testing in the case, we think there was good reason for her to know that this individual was not DNA tested.
But she was she was never told the opposite. In fact, she asked for her file and she gets it redacted. Mm-hmm. So isn't that at least some evidence for the district court to say she clearly, she couldn't guess who was, who was and who was not tested because it was your client who redacted it. Well, and I recognize you disagree with that, and I respect that. But isn't that some evidence?
No. The problem is that that is where we get and we start to commingle the difference between injury and cause. Her injury was that she didn't feel it was properly investigated and nobody was caught. The specific cause of that injury, which was the specific lack of this specific DNA test, is not what Section 2410.1091 requires. It only requires that she knows her injury. Her injury was that there were holes in the investigation. Now, that's where we get actually to the other part of our appeal, which is not a factual error. It's a misapplication of the law to the facts. The facts are, in 2002 and earlier, she complained she was dissatisfied with the investigation. She felt that people were not following up leads. She felt it was not being properly conducted. She specifically called in a recorded conversation and complained to Detective Bates herself that she was not satisfied with the way she was investigating her claim. And whether or not the specific cause of the lack of investigation was this particular DNA test, it's simply not at issue. That's not what the law requires. We would also state that she was aware she had a redacted police report, expressed dissatisfaction with having a redacted police report, and that in itself would have been reason for her to file a notice of claim and ask the local government to look into an unredacted police report and tell her and determine who was DNA tested.
So is it your view then that having received the redacted police reports, which do not disclose who was tested, that she had an affirmative obligation to go further to actually find out whether the perpetrator was tested or not?
No, actually, and that is when we look at the requirement in the Colorado Governmental Immunity Act of filing a notice of claim, it's not only a burden, it's an opportunity. Citizens or anybody who feels they've been harmed by a government actor in the state of Colorado has the chance, without having to root things out and develop a case, to complain to their local government and ask them to conduct an investigation. Ms. Delaney, she complained to the newspaper, she called and she complained to Detective Bates, but she never filed the notice of claim that actually could have solved the problem, prompted an investigation, and ended this all 10 years ago. And that's what she had, not just the burden, but the opportunity to do. She didn't do that.
Well, there is a burden too, Ms. Jordan, isn't there, under Trinity Broadcasting? I mean, it says directly the Act's notice period puts the burden on the plaintiff to figure out, you have to know your injury, and you have 180 days to figure out the cause.
Well,
right?
As soon as you can file a notice of claim as soon as you know your injury and kind of describe the event that you think caused it. You don't actually have to know the specific cause. And in this case, it's very clear she knew her injury, and she could have described, I think there are holes in this investigation. I do not think things are being followed up on. It's in the record that in 2001 and 2002, she was particularly dissatisfied with the DNA portion of her redacted reports and was trying to inform herself about DNA. So at that time, she even could have complained that she wasn't completely satisfied that enough DNA testing was occurring.
Now, Ms. Jordan, can I follow up on your issue on injury? Because something you keep saying this, and it's troubling me a little bit. You say the injury is no arrest. Why isn't the injury emotional distress? It sounds like no arrest is the cause, and the injury is the emotional distress. You seem to be conceding that I have that wrong, and I'm wrong plenty. So
I think the city would concur. Well, I mean, she's the one claiming her injury, and the injury, the way we see it, the kernel is the lack of arrest and all of the adverse emotional and just, when nobody's arrested in a crime like this, the injury is pretty obvious. It's fear, it's in your personal relationships, it's insecurity. And according to our reading of her complaint, that is what she's claiming. But the kernel is not a lack of DNA testing. It's that the perpetrator wasn't caught and that she did not believe that the investigation was being properly conducted.
So what point triggered the 180 days? When would the no arrest have occurred? That's the injury, then you have 180 days. It's not like a broken arm, okay? You know when you break your arm, but in this case, well, you're saying it's no arrest, you're saying it might be emotional distress, but I'm having a hard time understanding when the 180 days starts to run.
Well, the way most case law has lost this subsection is to say as soon as a claimant is aware that they have been wrongfully injured. A few cases even say when you know you're injured and you suspect it might be caused by a government actor. That's when you file a notice of claim. Because this was also many years ago, it's sometimes hard to say exactly what day this accrued. But we say at the latest, it's when she gave a newspaper article, an interview, and she said, I'm unhappy, I'm dissatisfied with this, this is damaging me, and I believe it's because Longmont police detectives are not following up properly on leads, they're leaving holes in the investigation, and they aren't properly investigating our case. We think it accrued no later than that, and that was 4 years, not 6 months, 4 years before she filed her notice of claim.
Let's assume that's true. How would she prove her case if she had filed 4 years earlier?
Well, she didn't have to prove her case.
I understand, but my point is you don't file a notice of claim just to file a notice of claim. It's not your intent is not to say to the government, do something for the public general. Mm-hmm. It's, I have a claim, I'm going to be asserting a claim against you. Mm-hmm. So along the lines of what Judge Boris asked, even if there's a wrongful injury, this 180-day period has to start sometime.
We think
and it can't just be 180 days or 181 days prior to the date that you arbitrarily picked.
Well, but this isn't arbitrary. She could have filed a notice of claim saying exactly what she said to the Longmont newspaper reporter. That would have been a sufficient notice of claim.
So she had to file a notice of claim, not complain to the detective any further, not complain to the newspaper?
She could have done all three. Unfortunately, she only did two.
But the legal requirement is not what she could have done necessarily, is it? The claim has to be a wrongful injury. Now, if you're saying the injury is the lack of arrest, and we'll accept that for purposes of my question, mm-hmm. when did she discover the wrongful conduct?
Well, she suspected the wrongful conduct.
Suspected. That's the question, though. You say
but
suspected.
You don't have to
the
know
language
exactly.
of the statute says, doesn't it? Discovered or should have discovered.
The injury.
Discovered or should have discovered the injury.
Yes.
And it's and the cause.
No, it doesn't say cause. It says the injury. All the statute says is injury.
Okay, but we're dealing with a wrongful injury. That's the language that you're quoting from the case law. So there has mm-hmm. to be some wrong that causes that injury.
Yes, and in this case, she firmly believed in 2002 that she was wrongfully injured by an incomplete investigation. Whether she knew specifically what was incomplete is not the issue. CGIA does not require that level of specificity.
Your argument here, Ms. Yorty, is, if I'm understanding it, and please correct me if I misstate it, is that she knew or should have known at least by 2002 when she went to the press that the investigation was negligent or was not what it should have been and had caused her the emotional distress that she was having. And that's the point at latest that she should have given the notice. That's the argument you're making?
Well, what we're making is not even should have. It's on the record. I mean, we do not agree that the investigation was wrongful. That's something that's assumed at this state of the proceedings. She believed in 2002 that she was wrongfully injured by Detective Fates' investigation enough to go to the press to complain to Detective Fates and to complain to Detective Fates' supervisor, but she didn't file a notice of claim.
Victims are often unhappy with police investigation if the suspect or the perpetrator isn't discovered quickly. So are you suggesting that any time a victim is unhappy with the way the police investigation is going that they need to file notice, or after 180 days lose their right to do so?
That's a very broad statement that could encompass a lot of very interesting fact situations. What we're saying is that in a case like this where somebody is so clearly on the record, they've even gotten their reports, they've made themselves knowledgeable about DNA, they've leveled such specific accusations, that is just a slam dunk case, 100% she should have filed a notice of claim. There might be gray area in cases of less certainty where there's no arrest, but you just really aren't sure that nothing wasn't done. You have no idea, and you have no reasons to suspect that the investigation was wrongful. But in this case, we don't even need to get there. Ms. Delaney did suspect that the investigation was wrongful. She did think it was Detective Fates' fault. She was dissatisfied with the level of DNA testing. She was of the opinion that there were holes and leads not followed up on her investigation. Whether or not somebody in a different situation has, should file a notice of claim in addition to talking to the newspapers and in addition to calling Detective Fates and her supervisor, we can't say. But in this situation, it's very, very clear that she should have done so. I'd actually, if possible, like to reserve my last minute for rebuttal.
Fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is John McNamara, and I represent the plaintiff appellee in this case, Renee Delaney, who's present in court this morning. Your Honors, I'll provide the court just a brief summary of the facts in this case. In 1996, Renee Delaney was sexually assaulted while living in her grandmother's apartment in Longmont, Colorado. On the day of the incident, she indicated to officers that she thought that the person who had assaulted her lived in one of the buildings at the apartment complex that she lived at. She indicated that she thought the man's name was Rudy. Apparently, police officers that day did talk to a man named Rudy who lived in the building next door or close by to where Ms. Delaney lived. But at that time, that they did not have information that he was a potential suspect. Investigation proceeded that day. Ms. Delaney was taken to the hospital and a rape kit test was performed on her at the hospital. They were able to obtain a DNA sample from her that day and also some fingerprints from the apartment that she lived in. Following the our initial investigation of the case the day of the sexual assault, Detective Fates, who was in charge of the investigation, and this was her first time in charge of such a serious investigation, never had a follow-up sit-down session with all the investigating officers to discuss the evidence that they had heard from witnesses, what they had learned from Ms. Delaney, what they had learned from Ms. Delaney's grandmother with whom Ms. Delaney lived. They never shared all that information and pulled all that information. There was DNA testing done of the apartment complex supervisor, and Ms. Delaney eventually learned that that man was cleared as far as his DNA not matching the DNA from the rape kit test that was done at the hospital the day of the sexual assault. However, over the next few years, no testing was ever done of this man, Rudy, in the building next door until the Colorado Department of Corrections was, I guess, doing the intake process for Mr. Gaetan at a prison, tested his DNA, and found that it matched the sample that was being held by Boulder County. At that time, late May, early June of 2006, the Boulder County District Attorney's Office went out to talk to Ms. Delaney and informed her that as a result of the DNA testing, they were now able to make an arrest in this 10-year-old sexual assault case. When the court was asking appellant's counsel earlier today, what was the cause of Ms. Delaney's injury? The cause of Ms. Delaney's injury was the fact that proper DNA testing was not done on Rudy Gaetan for over 10 years. Following his name being provided to Longmont police officers and a DNA sample being gathered that day. Had
Mr. McNamara, let me stop you. You've said a lot, and I have a lot of questions about what you've said.
Okay.
You're just talking about the cause. Do you agree that under Trinity Broadcasting, the issue for purposes of the 180-day notice is not the cause, it's the date of the injury, when the injury was known or should have been discovered?
No, I don't think that's what the Trinity decision said, and I'm basing that on other case law that I've cited in my brief, and I believe particularly the Smith case that basically said it's not strictly a question of just when the injury occurred, but it's a combination of not only when the injury occurred, but when the cause of the injury was discovered.
You know, what it says is the question is when Trinity knew or should have known that the building was damaged by the tortious act of another rather than a naturally occurring phenomenon such as pre-existing soil conditions. So I think you need to know about the injury and you need to know that there was some tortious act. Trinity then says that starts the clock. At that point, the claimant needs to then do an investigation.
And when
you disagree with that?
No, I don't. But I think what you're saying is when you say that there was some tortious act by another, that's cause. And in this case, the tortious act by another was Detective Fates' reckless, possibly willful and wanton definitely negligent failure to test the DNA of Mr. Gaetan 10 years earlier.
And so, Mr. McNamara, what was the injury then, and when did it occur?
The injury that occurred was basically intentional and negligent infliction of emotional distress. Ms. Delaney was suffering emotional distress over the next 10 years when she had been threatened by Mr. Gaetan the day of the attack. She was told that if she talked to the police, she'd be killed. And over the next 10 years, she's wondering if that man is following her around and is going to get her. She's just nervous about being sexually assaulted again. And that was an ongoing injury that occurred over the next 10 years. And but for the fact that that DNA test was not done and Mr. Gaetan was not arrested sooner, because once the DNA test was done, he was arrested within a day or two. But for that DNA testing not being done, she would have not had to endure those 10 years of being worried that someone might be out to get her, either to sexually assault her or kill her.
But the injury here, you just said yourself, and I think your complaint says, was her emotional distress, her extreme emotional distress from the fact this guy was out here. Didn't she know by 2002 when she went to the media that she was having all this great distress? She'd had various personal issues and counseling, and she knew that the investigation was, at least in her perspective, slipshod. She said that to the press. Why didn't that trigger the 180-day notice?
The answer to that, Your Honor, is that basically the purpose of the 180-day notice is to give local government or state government agencies an opportunity to investigate the alleged wrongdoing or negligent activity by their employees. Now, in this case,
Your basis for that? You just made a legal statement. What's your basis for that?
My legal basis for that, Your Honor, is I believe it's the Trinity case interpreting the purpose behind the Governmental Immunity Act.
We may be looking at the same place. That's why I was asking. Trinity says the Governmental Immunity Act does not permit an injured party to ignore evidence which would cause a reasonable person to know that he or she has been injured by the tortious conduct of another. The Act's notice period places a burden on the injured party to determine the cause of the injury, to ascertain whether a governmental entity or a public employee is the cause, and to notify the governmental entity within 180 days from the time when the injury is discovered.
And I'd like to take a minute or two to answer that question, Your Honor. First, when Ms. Delaney talked to the newspaper, all she had was general hunches and feelings. There weren't any specific allegations in that newspaper article that, Ms. or Detective Fates hasn't done this particular activity, Ms. or Detective Fates hasn't done that particular activity. She never said, I know Detective Fates hasn't sat down and talked to the other officers to have kind of a summary information gathering session. She didn't say to the newspaper, I know Detective Fates hasn't tested Mr. Gaetan, hasn't tested Joe Blow, hasn't tested Mary Smith. And the reason she didn't file an earlier notice of claim is you don't file a notice of claim based on a vague feeling or suspicion or hunch. You need to have a little bit more solid ground to that. And the purpose behind the notice of claim is to give a government entity an opportunity to investigate their agency's actions or their employees' actions. And if we didn't have a specific reason, we just had general suspicions or hunches when she talked to the police or when she talked to the newspaper, and she only got a specific reason to believe that there was some sort of misconduct, negligence, recklessness on the part of Detective Fates when they found out that the DNA testing had not been done earlier on Mr. Gaetan, that's when the claim matured and she followed the notice of claim within 180 days of that time. And the city of Longmont had the opportunity to investigate at that time. They conducted their investigation. The quality or degree of that investigation is for a jury to decide should this go to trial. But as of the present time, it's not like Ms. or Detective Fates has lost her case already. There's still going to be an opportunity for a jury to hear her defenses and her explanation for her behavior and require my client and I to prove our case. This is only a preliminary issue, Your Honor, to decide whether or not there's subject matter jurisdiction and whether the notice of claim was complied with. And until we have specific knowledge of specific governmental wrongdoing, not just general hunches or suspicions that cannot be specifically identified or listed in a list in a newspaper article, I don't see how Ms. Delaney, particularly when she calls the detective once a year, year after year, and asks the detective, what's going on with my case? Have you got any new clues? And the detective, year after year, reassures her. She asks for the police reports to try to find out what's going on. The police reports are so redacted, she can't tell what's going on. When Mr. Gaetan comes to the gas station where her grandmother works and asks her grandmother about Renee, and Renee calls the police and notifies them of this, and there's still no activity taken, that gives her the impression that Gaetan's been checked out and he's been cleared. There's not much more a layperson could do to try to investigate their own case without, you know, being told by the police, back off, we've got to keep you out of this. Police investigations are confidential. We don't want you to be tainted by us giving you information about who you're checking out. There's a special quality to police investigations.
Now, excuse me, Mr. McNamara, if I can ask you, the claim that you're filing in this case is one or two, the specific cause of action is intentional and negligent infliction of emotional distress, correct?
And overall, outrageous conduct, yeah.
And I think outrageous conduct and intentional infliction are probably the same. So we start from that premise. So you've got to prove there was some outrageous conduct here, which I take it your allegation is that the, you know, basically she led your client to believe, Detective Fates led your client to believe she was doing an investigation that she hadn't done. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right. Okay. The second piece you have to prove is that your client suffered severe emotional distress. That's an element of the claim, true?
True.
All right. As I read your complaint, all the emotional distress happened before 2002. You know, the actual injury happened a while ago. I don't see any allegation in the complaint that suddenly when the police officer, the DA showed up and said, we finally got him in 2006, that your client went off the deep end. It seems like the extreme distress all happened before. So it's a causation question. Isn't the injury you're complaining about the distress that happened before your client learned they tested Gaetan very late?
Well, Your Honor, to my knowledge, for a prima facie case of a tort, not only do you have to show the injury, but you also have to show that the defendant caused the injury. And what we're saying is the defendant in this case caused the injury by failing to test the DNA.
My point, Mr. McNamara, is you allege more than that. You allege throughout your complaint that your client had distress because of Detective Fates' poor investigation. And that completely separate from what happened in 2006 when they showed up on her doorstep.
I respectfully disagree with that, Your Honor, and here's the reason why.
Please.
If the detective had sat down with the other police officers that arrived on the scene, I believe there are roughly 10 of them, and had talked to them, had a sit-down meeting. And one of the Longmont police officers, one of the commanding officers during the Trinity hearing, testified that it was fairly standard procedure on a more serious investigation like this to have the group of investigators come together, and I think they called it a bullpen session, where the officers would exchange what information they had collected. And if Detective Fates had said, well, she said that her assailant was named Rudy, and one of the other officers had said, well, I talked to Rudy, and he lived in the building next door, and they had matched his physical characteristics to the characteristics that Ms. Delaney had provided, at the beginning of the investigation, the type of jeans he was wearing, the fact that they were button-down jeans instead of zipper jeans, that kind of thing, it might have made a difference and this case might have gotten settled sooner. So the biggest chunk of cause is probably lack of the DNA test, but I think you can also argue that failure to have the bullpen session, the failure to check up on Gaetan after he stopped by the gas station and talked to the grandmother. There was an ongoing pattern of missed opportunities throughout this case, but when Ms. Delaney discovered her injury or had solid grounds to really say this was a mistake on the part of Detective Fates was when she found out through the Boulder County District Attorney's Office that the DNA testing had not been done sooner. And once she found that out, all the confidential redacting and promises that were investigating and reassuring each year was finally shown. She finally had a piece of something to show that was not the case. It's very similar to a medical case.
Mr. McNamara, your time has expired. Just finish your thought, please.
It's similar to the medical cases that I've cited in my brief. When a person relies on their doctor for medical treatment and diagnosis, and they don't discover as a result of relying on that doctor to treat them correctly that the doctor themselves has been a cause of the injury, this court has held in the past that that's when the injury is discovered, once the doctor's mistake has been discovered. And in this case, discovery of the injury is a two-part analysis. It's not
just... McNamara, your time is completed. Thank you, sir, for your argument.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Rebuttal?
May it please the court, in brief rebuttal, we have just a few points. First, this is not a case of gray area. In any statute or any language, there are always going to be borderline cases. This is not the case here. Ms. Delaney could have filed a complete notice of claim based only on what she said in her 2002 newspaper interview and in complaints she made to Detective Fates in 2002. Next, Section 2410.109 does not require a two-part inquiry. You only have to know your injury and you have to suspect it was wrongful. If you file a notice of claim and the government decides you have no claim, you then have the regular statute of limitations to investigate your case, make a complete case, and file a complaint in civil court. That is when you are supposed to go through those steps, not be filing a notice of claim. Third, we need to stress that in Ms. Fates' complaint, I believe it's paragraph 42, she says the problem was failing to fully investigate the clues provided to Detective Fates. Detective Fates. She said that's what Detective Fates did wrong. She's been saying Detective Fates did that wrong since at least 2002. Therefore, this case hasn't changed. She filed too late. This is not a gray area. And I see my time is up, and would like to thank the court for its time today.
Thank you. Thank you both for your arguments this morning. The case will stand submitted. We will issue a written opinion in due course. As before, we'd like to invite the attorneys to stay and respond to any of the students.